don't know if y'all remember, but before I went on vacation and even prior to that, I preached a message called New Identity, New Activity. Y'all remember that? New Identity, New Activity. And I tried twice to preach the first part of that. And then I tried a couple of times. I guess this is the second time to preach part two. It was actually in your bulletin last week. And so I'm going to preach this message today, the second part, which really is about hearing God's voice. And I think God just wanted to make sure that over the last several weeks that I was hearing his voice before I preached this message, I could share some stories with you. It seemed like every intense situation that I was trying to work through came up. And sometimes it's good to have to walk through some difficult things where you have to hear God's voice and try to help others before you get up to share something. Gives you a lot more humility. So anyway, New Identity, New Activity, Part 2, Hearing God's Voice. I read the statement to you. This is actually a statement from James Van Wyperen, which is from the book Making Peace, which is a great book. But he said this. He says, the church is comprised of people called out by God in Christ through the power and active indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We have said to you that in this part of the year that we are going to be emphasizing being spiritually engaged. We've talked about through the first part of the year how we should live. And now we want to talk about really getting down to the nitty-gritty of that. And that is that we are to be spiritually engaged. And as you know, we really continue to grow in our understanding of the new identity that we have in Christ. And I want to stop right there and say, do you believe that? Because many of us, as I look around the room, we've known the Lord Jesus Christ for a lot of years. But I'm going to say in my life that the identity that I have in Christ, that I am still learning. Amen. And that the Holy Spirit is in work in my life, in my marriage, in my family. It requires you, or let me say it, what it requires of me, okay? It requires of me to continue to be teachable and to learn. And that's what the work of the Holy Spirit does, is we are spiritually engaged in the new identity. And, you know, as we grow in that, it's the work of the Holy Spirit that produces the new activity, right, that God desires from us.
It is vital.
Let's say that. It is vital. You know, what does that mean? Somebody know, what does vital mean? Yeah. All those are good. It's vital that we be able to hear God's voice. Do you not believe that? I mean, how many of y'all, just think about it. I mean, sometimes we think about work and we think, you know, your job in the marketplace that you don't know, you know, maybe you don't need to hear God's voice, because Americans are really good about separating their spiritual life from everything else. You need to hear God in your work. You need to hear God at school. You know, you need to hear God when you're on the ball field. Sometimes, especially for some of us that are older and they get on the ball field or on the golf course or somewhere like that, you know, it's dangerous to go to play with some Christians. They throw golf clubs, they cuss, they do all kinds of things. None of the guys that I know, though. But it's vital that we hear God's voice. Now, I want to ask you a simple question, and I like to do this from time to time just to kind of change things up. And here's the simple question that I have for you this morning, okay? What are two of the ways that you clearly hear God speak to you during the week? Maybe you would say it's when I sit down and I'm drinking that coffee from that blue coffee cup that I just love. All right? Your opportunity. Two ways that you hear God, and I'm doing this because sometimes people kind of pigeonhole God and think the only way I can hear God is to be at a Bible study or, you know, and that's a good thing, if I'm reading my Bible or if I'm praying. So let's your opportunity, okay? Nancy? Conscience, okay? That's good, yeah. All right? Judy? Okay, peace. You know, you're thinking about direction, moving one way, and a piece about that. That's good. Fred?
Sometimes even when I don't want to hear it from my wife.
Uh-oh. I just want to tell all the husbands he said that. I didn't, okay? No, that's exactly right. That's why God put us together, right? That's why we're going to hear about dynamic marriage, but that's why we do this, right? That's why we have dynamic marriage. That's why we have people come to help us, because we're stronger because we're together. God put us together. Thank you. Someone else. Judy. Yeah. That's good. Do you? Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I get it not only for myself, but for a lot of other people. Nancy, you've already had a time. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. Forgive me. Nancy and I have worked together for years, so we could do it. She's not offended, right? You're not offended, right? Okay, good. Please, go ahead. You're the only one raising your hand right now, so please, come on. Dreams?
Yeah.
Dreams. Okay, yeah, dreams. Yeah, I'd be in trouble. I tell Katya, she dreams a lot, and I dream, but, you know, my dreams are usually kind of silly. But people do, and this is good. I mean, the dreams are good. Let me go on this side, of, okay, because I feel like, you know, right, how about over here?
Megan has something.
Oh, Megan, I'm sorry. Why don't you sit a little closer? I've seen you drive, too. No. I know. I do, too. I pray a lot when I'm driving. So anyway, but no, that's good. That's good. Because you have time to really kind of think. And do you think sometimes that our thoughts can be prayers? Okay, good. Yeah, that's good. All right. Good. Thank you. Someone else? Emily. Like Bible study?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, like when you're taking a test and God brings, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. That's good. Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, you know, history has a lot of things like that. And, you know, when you study, you can see things. God's obviously very active in people's lives. So I think that's great. Okay. A couple of more. All right, happy? Yeah.
She sees it all in a different light, and it brings me to a place where I'm like, wow, I need to see it that way.
Yes, that's good. Okay, we got a couple more there. Go, y'all go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Go. When you listen to music, okay. And let's see. Carolyn, is it? When you're shopping? Oh, Lord, help us. No, I'm just kidding. No, hang on. I'm sorry. Wait, y'all, I'm sorry. Carolyn's only, this is like her third time. She's probably going to leave after this. But say again and I'll be quiet. I'm so sorry. Thank you. I'm glad. This is the church where the ladies believe in cruise ministries, okay? This is good. Thank you. Okay. And one more. Go ahead. I'm sorry I don't know your name. Yes. Journaling. Yeah, that's good. All right. Good. Give yourself a nice hand. I think it's good to do that, because a lot of times people feel like, well, the only way that God speaks to me is, you know, if I read the Bible and if I study. And that's one of the ways that God speaks to me, and I get to do a lot of that, obviously, you know, with my responsibilities here. And the other thing that helps me a lot is, and I'm going to use this word godly counsel from the relationships, both men and women that I have, particularly for those that I am accountable to and who I have that kind of friendship with, because I'm encouraged by their counsel, but I'm also challenged. I mean, I have a pastor, and he's very encouraging to me, but he also can be very challenging to me almost every time. And he happens to be the dean that Clarissa, our daughter, for her, the program she's going through. And of course, I think I tell you, her comment was, Dad, you just can't believe how challenging he can be. And I said, I think I can believe how challenging he can be. So anyway. But for me, those are two of the ways that I really hear God's voice. And so those are good things. So I want to just ask you to look at Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. This is a passage of scripture that we read a few weeks ago when I preached the first part of this message. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. We thank you for what Jesus and Peter and the disciples went through in this encounter. So we pray that we might learn from that, Lord, as we look at it today. We ask you to help us in Jesus' name. In part one of this message, we talked about that Peter, how he responded to this question that Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter is an interesting study. I have always been fascinated by Peter. You probably know that because I have preached a few messages about Peter's life, and I can relate to it. Because what you see in Peter is, in this particular event with Jesus, you see this great revelation that the Spirit of God, the Father, has given to him. And of course, he is a spokesman. He is to be a leader among the disciples and in the early church. And so you see this great thing happening. And Jesus actually gives him a prophetic word about his calling. And so it's a great thing that happens. But we also see, and we will see in just a few minutes, that there were times when he moved away from that and that he really leaned on his own understanding. And I can relate to that very much so, because I have learned about myself that sometimes I can be very persistent with my human understanding or wanting to work things out on my time rather than on God's time. And so I find it interesting to look at Peter. Now, you are faced with the same challenge, are you not? Just like Peter. I mean, you go through those times when God really speaks to you, and then you move away from that, and you begin to really lean on your human understanding, human strength. And this is part of the challenge that we face with trying to be spiritually engaged, really, in our daily lives. And so today, what I want to do is just spend a little bit of time really recognizing from this passage of Scripture some of the attitudes that will help us to hear God's voice. The first one is this: it is living with the expectation that God will speak to you. It's living with the expectation that God will speak to you. Let's look at John 14, 26, because living with the expectation that God speaks to us comes out of God's word. And let's read this, John 14:26. It says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." That's a promise for all of us. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is here today, that it was not only meant to remind and to help the disciples, Peter and the disciples? It's for all of us. It's a promise that we can have and that we can expect because of God's word and promises like this, that God will speak to us today. Do you believe that? Do we live it? Do we practice it? Think about Peter and the disciples. Why did they follow Jesus? I mean, think about Peter's own, when he first began, when Jesus came to him. It wasn't the first time that he had met Jesus. But what did Jesus say to Peter? He said to Peter, "Come follow me, and I will help you to become a fisher of men." So from the very beginning, there was an expectancy that if Peter believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was going to hear God's voice. And that if you look at the inner circle of Peter, James, and John, and you look at Peter's exposure to being with Jesus, many of those nights when he went out to the mountains to pray, he saw in Jesus' own life his need, his desire to hear his Father's voice. It was modeled in his life. That dynamic is still true for us today. That one of the reasons that we don't hear from God is because we don't expect to. But see, we have been given an inheritance. We have been given blessings in our life. We have been brought into the kingdom of God, and we have a relationship with the Father where we can hear from His voice. We are to live with that expectation. Now, one of the things about living with that expectation, which is grounded in God's word, is when we hear God speak to us, then it's important that we look to see, is what we are hearing, does it line up with God's word? Not by our own understanding, but by what? But by God's word. That's very important. When Chuck's here today, Chuck Kalicheski, and he will tell you that when prophetic words are given, that those words really need to be judged. That's what the scripture says. And when God gives us a word, that we are responsible to be sure that that word lines up with God's word. That we just don't charge off to do something that isn't in line with God's word. There's a safeguard that is built for us, and that is built around the scripture. It's also built around the thing that I talked about earlier, and that is to have godly counsel in your life. I've said this to you before, but I'm amazed at how many people in the church, and I'm talking about the church overall, neglect that they could go to a group of elders or to, you know, it could be to someone they trust, it could be to a dear friend, it could be a lady, to just pray and to see, you know, I've got an important decision. Godly counsel is a great way to be able to confirm what you're hearing in direction. Because we all live with the promise based on God's word that He will speak to us. I mean, people come and ask us sometimes, the elders, they ask me to pray for them. And I'm glad to do that. And I'm very clear with them that the responsibility, and I know I have responsibilities as a pastor because sometimes people take, you know, what you say with you know, some pretty significant weight. But I try to encourage people because what I've always learned and what my pastor has done over all these years is to teach me I need to hear God. But I need to seek out godly counsel. And I need to follow to be sure that it lines up with God's word. And that has been so true in my life. So I live with the expectancy that God will speak to me. He doesn't necessarily always speak about a certain situation or direction exactly at the time that I would like, but sometimes I have to walk through a process, and you do too. But I live with the expectation, God, you know, you're going to speak to me. A lot of times, I tell the elders, You know, when we have to make decisions about things and we say, you know, God, this is it's a risky decision. Is this really what you want us to do? You know, I would rather be together and sought out godly counsel with brothers and make a mistake and then be corrected together than to go out on my own and do something that doesn't line up with God's word. Amen. And that has paid off for me over the years because I'm not alone in this. I have the Holy Spirit in my life, and I have trusted friends who have the Holy Spirit, and together, the song that we sang when we talk about I am undone in your presence, and that we desire for heaven and for earth to be one, is discovered that way through godly counsel. God speaks to us. Secondly, it's trusting God's leadership for your life. This is a big issue that a lot of people struggle with, a lot of Christians, trusting God's leadership for your life. Let's look at Matthew 16, go down to verse 21 through 23. Peter, in one of these times, now this is a different scene, we'll see, but it says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And so Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Now these are strong words that Jesus gives to him. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Now, this is a new scene, okay? In other words, they're in a different place. They're not in the same place that they were from verses 13 through 20. But Peter has obviously moved from being receptive to God's voice and back to his own understanding because he's rebuking Jesus. Now, he's doing that as a loyal friend, isn't he? I mean, he can't hardly stomach to think that Jesus is going to die and that he's going to suffer. That just doesn't add up. So he pulls him aside. He pulls aside the Son of God. He rebukes him. It's amazing what our human understanding will do. I love that. I love this interaction between Peter and Jesus. But he really believes that he's doing him a favor. But Jesus quickly challenges him that he's being used by Satan. And I want to say something to you. I think Jesus was really tempted to be discouraged or to be pulled down by this. Do you believe that? Yeah, because the Bible says that he struggled. He had to go through the same temptation that you and I go through. So you see, this is not just something that's put in there for Peter's behalf, but for us to see that Jesus himself had to say to Peter, who he loved very much and who would become a very important leader in the early church, you get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things of God in mind. You have the things of men and your own human understanding. See, trusting God's leadership for your life means to not lean on your human understanding. And it's easy for me to do that. I don't know, probably at some point I've shared this example, but my father died in 1976, and I was living at home. We lived in Spring Branch. And we had lived there my whole life in the same house. My father died from leukemia very suddenly. And so anyway, I came to a point where I really believed, and through just the counsel of my pastor, it was time for me to move out and to really grow up and take responsibility. Well, my grandmother Nation, who was my mom's mother, she thought what I was doing was terrible because my father died a year ago, and she thought I was abandoning my mom, which I was not. But she calls me on the phone. Now, my grandmother Nation was the most strong-willed lady that I have ever met in my life. Tough-minded. And somehow, I think my relatives, do you know who Carrie Nation is? Carrie Nation was the lady that went in with a hatchet and used to go in. and go after all those places where they were making alcohol. So that was what was in this family, okay? So she calls me on the phone. And she said, Dennis, God is going to curse you because you're moving out. You're abandoning your mother. Now, I wasn't disrespectful to my grandmother. And I didn't really know how to take that, except to say to her, to try to explain, Grandmother, I believe that I'm doing what God wants me to do. You know, I believe in her way that she thought that she was being loyal to my mom, which she was. But those are strong words to tell somebody, you know, that, who believes that they're trying to do God's will, that God is going to curse you. Strong words. And I want to say to you that while I believe that she meant well, the fruit of what God did in that season of my life needed to happen. Though she had that opinion. I believe that she was leaning on her human understanding, trying to do something that she felt out of her loyalty to my mom that she needed to do. You see, trusting God's leadership is the key to being receptive in your heart to really hear God's voice. One of the things that sometimes people say is, well, I just don't hear God's voice. But if you make a decision that you already know what you're going to do, you're not going to hear God's voice. You're not going to be receptive because you've already decided by your human understanding and by your will and maybe by selfishness, I don't know, what you're going to do. You close your heart to God speaking to you is what you do, rather than being open. What's interesting about what Peter did is this, that it would be the Jesus dying on the cross and the resurrection, if you remember, that would bring him back from the discouragement and the denial that he made that he never knew Jesus Christ. That needed to happen, not only for him, but for all the disciples and for all of us. And yet he felt in his rebuke or his communication to Jesus that he was being loyal. But really, he was trying to preempt the very thing that he needed to happen in his life. I'm glad that Jesus said what he did. I'm glad that Jesus didn't listen to Peter's loyalty. The third attitude that I want to just share with you this morning that really, I believe, helps us to hear God's voice is this, is keeping the proper balance between faith and responsibility. And I want to look at one more scripture from Matthew 16. It's verses 5 through 12. It says, when they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they discussed this among themselves and said, it is because we didn't bring any bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it that you don't understand that I was not talking to you about the bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast in the bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, this is a great example with the disciples who did forget to bring the bread. They were supposed to bring the bread, okay? That could get lost a little bit in this scripture. They were supposed to bring the bread. They were. And they forgot to bring the bread. But it wasn't. But Jesus was saying to them, I'm sorry, it is funny to me. But they got so distracted because they forgot to bring the bread, they couldn't really hear what Jesus was speaking to them. You ever do that with your wife? You go on vacation or you go on a trip and, you know, did you bring my deodorant? No, I didn't bring your deodorant. You know, that's a small thing, but, you know, couples fight over that kind of stuff. And then, I mean, then your whole trip, you can't hear the presence of God. You can't hear God speaking to you. I know it's a simple thing, but it happens. Where is the bread? We left it on the counter. I don't know where it is. I thought you were bringing the bread. No, I told you to bring the bread. You did? That's what our conversations sound like, don't they, sometimes? We had one like that not too long ago. Oh. I hate to confess this. Can I confess a thing about the Disney thing? Okay. Oh, Lord. I was hoping you'd say no. Okay. You know, I went on vacation, and I was so ready for vacation. I was just like, you know, if I could stay gone for 6 months, I'd be happy. That's not really true. But so we go to Orlando where Clarissa is. Okay, now I put off something I needed to do. I had to put together a proposal for some people on some things, and so I waited. I got up that morning, which is Friday morning, that we're going to Disney. I go down to the hotel, and I'm eating breakfast. I'm sitting there, you know, with the computer, and I'm working on some things. So I go back up to the room, and Kata and Clarissa spent the night with us at the hotel, and Lisa was there. So, you know, I'm on the phone talking back to Houston, trying to get this information back. Friday was my deadline. So they have the TV on really loud, and I can't hear. So I asked somebody, can you please turn off the TV? I mean, can you please turn down the TV? Well, I don't think anybody could hear me. And I think that one of the girls said it, hey, can you turn down the TV? So Kata just happened to have the remote control. And so I didn't know if they could hear me, but I guess she did because I said it really loud. Turn the TV off. Or why don't you turn the TV off? Well, she really reacted to that, you know, and I don't remember exactly what she said, but she actually yelled back at me. I was mad. Hey, this is my message. You be quiet. No, I'm only kidding. Oh, gee. Why do y'all have to come here when I have to use these apps? Y'all always show up at the right time, don't you? I didn't even know y'all for sure y'all were coming. But this is a good example, so let me finish it. So anyway, I was upset. All right? I didn't say that I was upset. We go to Disney World, all right? And the girls decided, of all places, they wanted to go to the Magic Kingdom, which is the one that's geared towards children. Well, I was determined. I had already made a decision. I'm going to minimize my communication with my wife because she yelled at me in front of the kids. I'm sorry, I know. If y'all want to look for a new pastor, y'all can talk to the elders after the meeting. So, anyway, not to prolong this out. So I went all day with a bad attitude. I'm sorry to say that. I am. But I wasn't willing to give in yet. Okay? No matter how magic the kingdom is, it wasn't... I needed the other kingdom in my heart, not the Disney one, okay? So that just tells you, if you think you're going to go there and God's going to transform your life, he's not. He will transform your wallet, though, I'll guarantee you that. So I went. We went back to the hotel. We got cleaned up. We maybe rest. And we had dinner with a family in the church where Clarissa is interning. And so we went and did that. And it was a great time. And, you know, I had to act like I wasn't upset, okay? This is really bad, I know. Pretending, I know, that's what I tell you all the time, don't pretend. So I'm pretending not to be upset. So on the way back, we get almost back to the hotel. I make a left-hand turn to go across the overpass on the freeway, and I hear my tire hit something, okay, that picked up. And then as we're running along at about 30 miles an hour, trying to get up to 30, I can hear the tire going, like there's something stuck in the tire, and every time it rotates around, it's hitting the pavement. So I pull into the parking spot of the hotel. Thank God it was very close. I get out. It's on Kata's side, too. You know, it's on the right side, the front side of the car. So I get out, and I can't see it because it's dark, but I can hear it, and it's going, shh. And inside, I didn't say anything. I said, okay, God, I got the message. I mean, he is deflating my anger. So next morning, I go out. I still haven't said anything. Go out, get the jack out. I get the tire tool. And my good friends over here at Goodyear, where I buy tires, had put the lug nuts on so tight, there was no way. I literally was trying to jump up and down on that thing. I realized I'm going to break the lug, and then I've really got a problem. So I have to call a wrecker to come get the car, to come haul it over there, all right? And so anyway, I go over them, I sit for hours, and I know they're going to tell me. They come out, and there's this huge screw with, I mean, just massive. And I'm like, that's it. It's going to mean a new tire. And Kata and the girls went shopping. They had cash and a credit card. So I'm thinking about, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And I'm thinking, but God, I know you're dealing with me. So the short story is, you know, God said, I'm going to be gracious to you. And they came back out and they said, we're going to be able to repair that tire. And so I'm like, you know, God, I need to go and repair my relationship with my wife. And so anyway, that's what I did. I confessed my anger and I had mishandled the situation. So you understand what I'm saying is that, and God reminded me how good that he is. That really what had happened to me is that I should have taken care of my responsibility before I got to that Friday. And yet he reminded me, even in my anger and my mistreatment of my wife, taught me again, or reminded me of his faith, of his provincial care for me. And so I'm very grateful to the Lord for that. I'm very grateful for my wife. Do you understand that some of you may be here today, because this is a two-sided coin. Some of you may be here and you procrastinate. You don't pay your bills on time. You don't take care of your car or your house. You realize, we don't think about those things being spiritual, but sometimes those are the things that cause us to be distracted, because we can't hear God's voice. But the other side of the coin is some of you may be here and that you don't have the faith that God will provide for you, and that you don't hear God. I mean, you become distracted because you're so caught up, you know, in all the responsibilities and all the things that you have to do in life, because you feel it's on you rather than also really having faith in the promises of God. The balance between faith and responsibilities will help us to hear God's voice. In closing this morning, I want to say to you, as you started at the beginning of this message, there are many ways that you can hear God. But all of those things and all of those ways are always tied back to God's word. What we build and what we invest our lives in has to be grounded and built on the foundation of God's word. It is not to be built, and what we invest ourselves in is not to be out of our own understanding. Christians get themselves in trouble. Churches get themselves in trouble. And denominations get themselves in trouble because they build on their own understanding. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your work in our lives. I pray, Lord, for
all of us today, God, that we might hear you clearly, be able to act upon your word. I pray, Father, for any person that's here that doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit would help them to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that he died on the cross and that you raised him from the dead, and that a personal relationship with you is received by putting their faith and trust in him, God. I pray for any person that's here today. I pray for people that need healing, Lord, to just physically, but spiritually, I pray, Father, that you would help us, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Help us to be receptive. Help us to have open hearts, God. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to have two quick things we're going to communicate to you. So I want to ask Terry and Darlene, y'all both going to come? Come on. Let's give Terry and Darlene a nice hand. They will be facilitating dynamic marriage. So y'all come on up here.
Good to see y'all. Thanks for showing up at the time that I need to confess a little issue that I had in my marriage.
Well, here's the application.
Okay. Thank you. I am going to be, we are going to be in there, okay? All right, so I'm just letting y'all know that. I'll get out of y'all's way. Let y'all do what y'all need.